You're listening to Gabbing with Invincible with Gab and Vince Papali.
Episode 2, welcome back to Gabbing with Invincible. I am Gab, here with my other host.
Yeah, your dad. My other host. I've been called a lot of things, but I've never been called another host. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I'm glad that I could bring some joy to your life today. So, you know, episode one, we got to get, dive a little bit into your background. I got to do a little interview of you. And we thought that it would be fun for today to do, a little bit of swap so that everybody understands who their hosts are, who they're listening to, why they're listening to us, and why we're so fabulous.
No, well, that'll be great. Yeah.
We are the way that we are.
Yeah, I'm not going to trick you up here, Gab. We just want to know a little bit about you. And of course, we'll get into, as we're, of course, part of the Papali group, we're going to be talking to Vinny and Mom. That can't and that'll be fun to talk to Mom. Mm-hmm. But so just right off, you were born in Philadelphia, and actually right near the Art Museum steps is where we were living, where, everybody knows about Rocky going up those steps. And you were born on New Year's Eve. And so, first of all, a belated happy birthday. Okay. So, did you get robbed of Christmas by being born on New Year's Eve?
It is the most overrated birthday, I think, that anybody could ever have. People are like, oh my gosh, New Year's Eve, it's so great. And it's like, well, yeah, okay. So first off, as a child, you get robbed of gifts. So things that your sibling would get only for a birthday or only for Christmas, oh, well, it's combined. It's like, really? Really? Well, Vinny got it only for his birthday. You freaking kidding me? And then, it's like, as you get older, it's not even like about gifts or anything like that. It's just more so, if you don't have a significant other and all of your friends do. So then on New Year's Eve, you're stuck spending your birthday when you're, 17, 18 years old with your parents because nobody wants to do anything because they want to do a little date night with their significant other. Or you go out and it's so expensive and it's so crowded and it's always such a hassle. And it's just like, oh my gosh. But I will say it is, for the most part, as I continue to get older, it is usually a great big party. So maybe that's where I get my party spirit from.
Yeah, well, you Gabriella, let me let everybody know out there, you usually are always in a party spirit. But we used to mess around, especially you had this thing called a gabette, that was named after you. And at every New Year's Eve in Philadelphia, they had the Mummers Parade in your
New Year's
honor.
Day. New Year's Day,
right. But New Year's Eve too, so that everybody celebrated Gabby's birthday. Yeah. We're sort of celebrating, it's almost like the 16th, 17th anniversary of the movie Invincible. And, since we have Gabbing with Invincible in here, we'll just sort of play off and go off that a little bit. And one of the things is, were there any positives or negatives with you and Vinny, I guess, because of the children with the movie Invincible, where everybody think, oh, well, it's so really cool. Your old man had a movie made about him. Tell us a little bit about how that was growing up in those years, because you're in the formative years, you were around 10 or 11, Vinny was 6 or 7. So what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there were both pros and cons to it, majority pros, and molded, probably me and Vinny into the people that we are today. But, I was 10, 11 years old going into a movie came out when I was in sixth grade, and kids are mean, and so it doesn't matter if your dad's, famous, if he has a movie about him, if he's just an average Joe Schmo, kids can still be really mean and jealous, and they maybe hear their parents talking. And so in the beginning, it was amazing. We're hanging out with Mark Wahlberg. I thought he was my best friend, and Elizabeth Banks and Mark Ciardi, who was one of the producers. And I was like, oh yeah, this is sick. I let me call Mark Wahlberg real quick. Yeah. it was really cool. And it's moments and memories that I think as the movie was going, we almost took for granted because it became such a regular thing. Like every day we were going to set and it became normal. And it's like, that's not normal. But that became a normal for, 6 or 8 months of us. And we got to do some really amazing things, meet some really amazing people. But as you get into middle school, you have a little bit of jealousy, I guess. And when you're young, you don't understand that. And you're like, well, I don't understand. Why are people maybe not treating me nice? Or why are they saying these things to me? And then as you get into high school, you know, there's some bullying that maybe comes involved. And again, because of jealousy and for whatever reason. And again, at the time, you're still trying to figure out who you are and you don't want anybody to hate you and you don't want to stand out for whatever reason it is. And it can be really difficult to try and immerse yourself into a new, you know, culture, so to speak, as like high school. That's a new culture. Especially going to a high school where I really didn't know anybody. I knew like two people.
Good point. I was going to bring that up. Yeah, that's a great point because you were going from a public to a private school. And so yeah. There were only a couple, you know, a couple of your friends that you went to high school with or middle school with went over there.
Yeah. And, you know, it was, I'd say that, like, you know, maybe some problems even started in middle school. I'll never forget one time. I guess I was like going to lunch or going to the bathroom in the middle of a class. And this other kid, I guess, was in the hallway with me. We were passing each other and he screamed to me, "Your dad didn't even deserve what he got," or something like that. And I was just so confused. I was like, what? And then, you know, you get to high school and then I decided to do cheerleading and lacrosse. And I ended up having a teammate of mine cyberbully me right when, you know, Facebook was starting to become popular. I didn't even have a Facebook and I was getting cyberbullied, being called a slut and all of these different derogatory terms. And I was like, I only kissed one boy in my entire life and he was on the cheek. Like, you know, it is what it is. High school is what it is. But it also, in a sad way, it almost made me, I wouldn't say resent what happened with us, but I definitely shied away from it. I wouldn't tell people my last name. I wouldn't say, you know, who my dad, who you were, because I found that people came into my life and were using me just to get closer to, you know, just to say, oh yeah, you know, I know Vince Papale's daughter. Oh, I, you know, went out with Vince Papale's daughter. And so it kind of jades you in a sense. Mm-hmm. And then as I've gotten older though, I've become so thankful for it because I'm very much now a person, I keep my circle small, but I'm also extremely strong. I'm very independent.
Cynically?
What was that?
I was thinking the word cynically. You don't take things for granted. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, no. And it's just, and I always try and remain, you know, humble. Like I, in college, like I wouldn't tell people my last name or like, I wouldn't tell friends like who my dad was. And it was like, I had a really good friend of mine. She 6 or 8 months into our friendship, she was like, wait, why didn't you tell me who your dad was? And my whole thing is like, I want you to hate me for me or like me for me or love me for me, whatever it is, but it's because of me. Like I didn't do like these accolades. They're not because of me. I didn't do anything. Like I just am very fortunate to be the daughter of somebody who got to be part of this whole ride and journey. Mm-hmm. But it's made me stronger. It's made me much more confident. And it's made me, you know, realize who people really are and, you know, it makes you who you are and it's great. And I'm very thankful for it. And now I'm like, people are like, oh, Papale, are you? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I am. Mm-hmm. That's me.
Well, you've got your own identity too. Well, yeah. Anyway, right over my shoulder here is this thing that this little jersey and I've got you and there you are with your cheer outfits from Bishop Eustis to Syracuse, which we'll get into in just a second. But before then, as you're growing up, you got into gymnastics and you know, it could have been the same curse you had there because that USA jersey happens to belong to your mom. She was on the USA world gymnastics team, world renowned in gymnastics and coach at University of Pennsylvania. Now you're going, and one of your favorite things is, of course, you want to do what mom did. So she enrolls you with her best friend who she went to college with and her husband competed with her. And now you're with there. And then all of a sudden it didn't fit. I mean, how tough was that?
Yeah, it was bizarre because I feel like any kid growing up, obviously you admire your parents, but sometimes like in the coaching sense, you know, you want them to be there and other times like, okay, well, I also like want to have my coach, but I really enjoyed having my mom there and coaching. And I'll never forget another time where I was young. I was probably maybe like 8 or 9. And my coaches were over, I think I was on the uneven bars and my coaches said something about mom, like, she has no business being here. She, you know, I don't remember the exact, it was so long ago. It was over 20 years ago. Something along the lines of, why is she here? Your mom was a joke, like literally laughing and laughing at me about my mom, saying that she was, you know, all these terrible things, that she doesn't, you know, shouldn't be here. And they're so much better coaches than she is. And, you know, I'm like 8 years old and you're like, what the heck is going on? Mm-hmm. And I think honestly, that probably jaded my outlook on gymnastics. I also think that I knew that that wasn't really my path, and which I'm still figuring out. But, you know, it was definitely a really weird thing because you're so young and you're like, oh, I thought my mom's amazing. Why are these people saying these horrible things about her? And so, you know, it's just weird. People are just so jealous.
Yeah, well, it's nasty. The way it is right now. I went through the same thing, and the movie came out with some of my teammates. Why did they make a movie about you?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I had nothing to do with it. You know, they contacted me. I didn't go out and try to sell myself.
But, yeah, you have people coming out of the woodworks too and being like, oh yeah, well, why weren't I wasn't I depicted in, or why was this, that, the other thing?
Well, you know, you moved on, and of course now you're getting into you know, you're in the middle school, and there aren't a lot of sports there at middle school that you can do for a girl. You had your soccer and stuff like that, but you got into dance. And what was that thing that attracted you with dance? What was it about dance that, other than the fact that you were just, man, if you ever saw Gabriella dance, she can dance. So, but what was it that attracted you back then?
Well, I mean, I think I started dancing when I was really young. I was like, we have the home videos of me, like in the little tutu with Antina doing my hair and makeup. When I was
makeup with little. Antina.
Yeah, and I was like, you like the song's like Shake Your Tail Feather, and I was like crumping it, and it was like, oh my God, you know? I said, I like, you know, like the video where I like, it looks like the skunk, and I was like, you know, I don't know. I just always loved it. And I still love it. You know, I love going out even now, like to go dancing where there's good music and just dancing with my friends. And I don't know. I think it was just it wasn't as rigid as gymnastics. And I felt like I could be a little bit more myself in a way. I don't know. Honestly, Mom always had tried to get me to do like competitive dance. And I always felt this I'm loyal to a fault. I always say that. Mom always has said that. She says, you know, and so I'm like, I stuck with the dance studio I was at, but I didn't do that competitive, which in hindsight, I wish I would have. I also wish I would have done field hockey in high school, but hindsight 2020, you know, maybe I wouldn't be where I am today. Maybe I wouldn't have the opportunities that I have today. You know, you never know. So there's no point in looking back and regretting, because then that'll just make you go crazy. Like, oh, well, you know, this, that, I could have done this, could have done that. Like, you don't know, you have no idea. So enjoy the ride that you're on right now and then embrace it.
Mm-hmm. Which is what I'm trying to do. Those kinds of things that make you tougher. And, you know, when I was growing up, I mean, you know, people in the Invincible, you know, they don't know. Basically, unless I'm out there speaking and tell the story about what it's about. But, you know, there over my shoulder, we have that Bishop Eustace cheer outfit. And you became captain of the team and you guys were champions. I mean, how great was that?
It was cool. I loved it. Well, and people are always like, first off, whenever I tell people I was a cheerleader, they're like, no, you're not. No, you weren't. And I was like, yeah, I was. Like, is it that hard to believe? Like, you know, I'm cool. And they're like, well, I'm just not that peppy, you know, over the top, like, yeah, let's go team. Like, oh my God, like that, you know, people, when they think of cheerleaders, that's what they think of. And I was just, you know, at the football games, I was watching the games and I, you know, they would make us do a cheer and I'd be like, but the drive's not over yet, you know? And so, and I just love the competitive aspect of it because I love competition. I love that adrenaline. I love that high. And I feel like I perform better under pressure. So, you know, there was something about when I got to high school, something in my gut was like, do this. And I did. And, you know, as a freshman, never had cheered in my entire life and made varsity. I was like freaking 90 pounds, braces, looked like a little boy practically, minus the long hair. But, you know, I mean, it was great. And it led me here and it led me to Syracuse, which I hate the cold, so I don't know why I really thought that would be a good idea.
Yeah, when I went to your house and tried to find a car, it was covered in snow. But
my car battery used to die all the time. I literally became a professional car jumper because my battery would die all the time from the cold. Nissan Altimas do not do well up at Syracuse, New York, in the dead of winter. Let me tell you.
That was a chore, but we did enjoy the drives up there. Just one thing, because your gymnastic skills that you had gotten earlier actually made you one of the top cheerleaders, and not only because you're a sis boom ba rah rah rah. When they were doing it and you were getting into the competitive cheers thing, you were the one that was at the very top of the pyramid, about 15 feet up there. And I'm videoing everything. I'm going like this, right? Yeah. Watching this. But, you could bend your legs back and you did all the twists and stuff. But the thing I love and remember the most, and I know you're going to smile about it, is when we were in a basketball game and you would start doing backflips from one corner. The other team would get up there and do their little cheer. And then, and then all of a sudden, and, the crowd, because they started expecting it, they were waiting. It's almost like, it's like, Gabby, Gabby. And then you would just go and do your backflips. I mean, how cool was that?
It's actually so funny that you brought that up, because the other day I saw a video on social media of girls literally doing that in high school, going the full court of like the backhand springs. And I was like, it just brought a little smile on my face, because I was like, wow. Like, I remember, and then like landing right in front of the visiting team and looking over at them and be like, yeah, I did that. It was just like it was such a rush. Oh my God, it was so fun. But
well, how about at Syracuse when there were 40,000 people and it was you against Duke? Did you do? Oh yeah.
That was, well, so yeah. So every, what was it? Every, cause NBA and college basketball, like their timeouts are very different. In college, there's two halves with four timeouts each half. And so at the 4 minute mark timeout, every game we would, have to tumble on the court. And it was Duke. This is honestly, I think my favorite sports memory I have ever been a part of ever. It was my sophomore year. We had just joined the ACC because of our basketball, our new rivalry with Duke. We made it into double overtime. It was absolutely nuts. And we ended up winning. But I remember my adrenaline is like raising right now as I'm talking about it. But I will never forget that feeling. You're just like, you go out for that timeout and you're like, let's go. And you're just, I'm like, I wish that the basketball court was longer, because I wanted to just keep going and going and going. Like, it was so electric, that stadium. If you've ever been to a game at the Dome, which you have, it was a favorite sports memory, hands down, forever.
Great.
Super Bowl was close, though. So Eagles are Super Bowl.
And it started because you took a risk. You tried out. I didn't want to sneak this on you, but, I have a book out there, and I'm not trying to sell it. It's just called The Last Laugh, and it's with your godfather and Uncle Denny, who I lost my best friend back a year and a half ago. And The Last Laugh is about, that one thing that you were trying out for, that people would say, hey, there's no way you're going to do it because of this, because of that.
Yeah.
And I had given you a preview on this. Have you thought about maybe what one of your greatest last laughs were? Maybe it was you were a free agent. Nobody knew about you and cheer when you went to Syracuse, and there you are doing your national TV.
Yeah, honestly, I actually think that it was when I tried out for the Syracuse team. I created a video, a tryout video of like my tumbling skills, my stunning skills, my cheering skills, everything that I could do. And I actually do think that in high school, when a couple of people found out that I were doing that, I was doing that, they were actually like, what is she doing? And, a lot of these girls had done all-star cheer. I never did all-star cheer. That wasn't my thing. I love the competitive nature of it. And from what I did in high school, and we were conference champions, we were very good. But I never got into the all-star. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to try out, because I knew I wanted to go to Syracuse. And let's see what happens. So I submitted the video. I got the call back, basically went, oh my gosh, I forgot about this. Something happened. So I get up there. It's a 3-day tryout.
Your wrist.
No, it wasn't my wrist.
When you put in the medical report.
Yeah. Something happened in the medical report and I wasn't cleared for the first day. And so I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I missed the first day of tryouts. I wasn't allowed to participate. I was just sitting there. I had to go to like the student medical center or whatever. I missed the first day. And then, so I show up on the second day and they had all learned all of these dances and everything like that. I knew nothing. I had legitimately 10 minutes to learn these dances and I learned them all. And I was better than most of the girls that were there. And I think that was really what caught like the coach's eye, because I missed the first day of tryouts and I picked right up. It was like, I hadn't even missed the first day. Like I did really well stunting. I did, whatever. And I ended up making the team, which I was like, oh my gosh, And they were, you know, very, very good. And so I was excited, and, you know, we were D1, and it was, yeah, you know, it was just.
Oh. It was exciting for you. It was really exciting for me. I mean, I was as proud of you out there cheering as I would have if Vinny was out there, you know, catching the game winning touchdown, which was really cool to see you compete and know your competitive aspect. So Syracuse, just real quick, Gabriella, why Syracuse? I mean, you had opportunities. You were honor student in high school and, you know, an athlete and all those things. And you were part of the community. That was part of the Bishop Eustace thing. You had to get involved. Yeah. So you were a big, basically. So why Syracuse? What was the draw there?
At the time, I really thought that I wanted to do sports broadcasting. And they had the number one school in the country. And then we also had a neighbor who was, you know, Syracuse ride or die. And, you know, had all his kids go there or whatever. And he kind of took me under his wing as his advocate, as his protege almost, I guess. You know, helped get me an interview to get in. And I didn't get into Newhouse, but I, you know, got into a different school, thought, okay, maybe I'll try and transfer, I'll study hard, whatever. Didn't end up working out, and ended up transferring to the sport management program. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, not every path works out the way that you think it will. So I just kind of went with it. And, you know, I wouldn't change. I had an unbelievable 4 years. I met some unbelievable people, had some really great opportunities. It's really what led me to get my job with the 76ers that I was with for 5 years.
And go next. Why don't you just roll right into that then, Gab? I was going to ask you that story. So just roll with it.
Yeah. Well, so for my senior capstone, I decided, so technically you're supposed to do it junior year. I decided to do it senior year, went abroad my junior year to Madrid, which 10 times out of 10, way better than Barcelona. Anybody who says otherwise, I will debate you until the end. Okay. And so I had to do my capstone summer after my senior year of college. Ended up doing it in the events and hospitality department with the 76ers. And then that was ending, that was in May of 2016. And then at the end of my internship, got approached by my former managers, who did the live events. So all the entertainment at all of the games, all of the events, you know, they did the fun stuff, not the behind the scenes, making sure all the tablecloths are there, the name tags, this, that, the other thing, the tedious stuff. They did the fun stuff and said, you know, they have an internship available for the fall. Would I be interested? And I had no other opportunities lined up. So I said, sure, I'll keep my foot in. It was only supposed to be for the fall, stayed through the spring as well for the whole season, left for 6 weeks to go and travel in Southeast Asia for 6 weeks. While I was there, the coordinator position opened up and I applied. I remember being, I think it was in Thailand, on the hostel computer, like trying to be like, I got to email my resume. Even though they knew who I was, but I still was like, you know, it was protocol.
Yeah,
I had to
do
it.
Gabby. Yeah, they did.
Yeah. And so, and I, you know, I got back and I blew the first interview, like blew it so hard. It was so bad. And they pulled me into the office, which I'll never forget. And they were like, take a breath. They're like, we know you. We know that's not who you are. Come to the next interview confident. This is like, and you're having a conversation. They're like, we know what you're capable of, but you need to show it in this interview. And so they gave me a second chance and I nailed it. And I was with the company for 5 years, was made it to manager before I, you know, said adios. But I mean, it was an amazing 5 years. I met some amazing people. I grew so much. I learned so much about myself. Got to do some really awesome things. And so, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I'm very thankful for those, for my managers at the time, Nicole and Derek, who saw something in me, I guess, and gave me that second chance to be, because they could ask me and been like, all right, you suck. Like, you're out. But no. So yeah, it was great. It was a really, really fun time.
It was really cool to go to Sixers games. I could show pictures of us on the sideline and I'd walk in there and I'd say, I'm Gabby. I didn't say Vince Papale, you know, I'm Gabrielle Papale's dad. Oh, okay. Boo-hoo. You know, and then Matt Cord was a PA announcer and Matt was with the Eagles and I've known Matt forever. You know, it was really cool. It was like a pretty cool family, but man, you did some of the coolest things. I mean, you went to China, you went to England, you did some all-star games. The NBA actually had you doing some all-star games. But I remember this one story when you were the stage manager for one of the events and you were trying to line all the guys up. And can you tell that story?
It is it was the All-Star game in Chicago. And I, for the All-Star Saturday night game, I was assigned to player introductions. So I needed to make sure like LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Russell Wilson, Devin Booker, like the biggest NBA stars, like right at the time, you know, and even now. You know, they're freaking towering over me. And I have this picture where you have LeBron, Anthony Davis, and I think Russell Westbrook. And I'm like this, like, you guys got to do this. And they're all just like looking at each other laughing. And I will never forget that. I mean, it ended up going off without a hitch. Once I finally got their attention, they were locked in. They listened to me for about 30 seconds. That was about all I had with them. But I mean, talk about intense. And that was right. That was the, somebody had just died. I don't remember who, but they were doing a whole tribute prior. So prior to the introduction. So it was like, it was a very, very intense moment. The warmups weren't intense at all. That was when they were kind of laughing and giggling and not really paying attention. But that was honestly probably one of the coolest experiences I've ever had. It was very, very surreal, but it was awesome.
Just put it in the book that you're going to write someday, which is really cool. All right, so now you're 5 years. We'll just keep rolling. So now we're 5 years with the 76ers or whatever you were, you know, and me so proud and the family. It was really cool stuff for us. And then the big P hits, the pandemic hits. They start shutting down offices. And we're down, I'm recording, we're both in Florida now, and we're recording in Jupiter. And mom and dad and I have already, he's chasing his dream and he's training down here.
Yeah.
And then you make the decision to move out of your house in Philadelphia, Center City, Philadelphia, right by Rittenhouse Square, and come down here. And how much of an effect has that made on what you're doing right now?
Oh my gosh. I mean, you know, I feel like you have to find the silver lining in things. And the pandemic was extremely difficult for everybody. But for me, it allowed me to get out of my comfort. It forced me, honestly, to get out of my comfort zone. If I didn't leave Philly at that time, I don't think that I ever would have. And I knew for myself that there was more and I needed to leave Philadelphia. And I always said, okay, well, I'll leave for a year. And if it doesn't work out, then I always know that I can go back home. But now, you know, I'm doing real estate full-time here in South Florida and we have the Papali Group, which is in Florida, PA, and Jersey. And I don't look back. You know, it's real estate. People think it's super glamorous. And I'm like, holy hell. It's, you know, I thought that I would go out there first year, guns a-blazing. Even though I was in a new market, I really didn't know many people at all. And I was like, yeah, it's fine. I'm going to be great. I'm going to make so much money. I'm going to do this, that, the other thing. No. And I'm still trying. I'm still trying to figure it out. It's really, really difficult. But the one thing that I do know is like, I know who I am as a person and I know that I am, you know, I have really great potential and I know that I'm on the right path. It's just waiting for it all to click. And I try and tell myself to be patient. That's actually a 2023 resolution, is trust God's timing and to be patient and don't try and control the outcome and that it needs to happen right now. Because I'm very much like all right, I need to see answered immediately. And that's just not realistic. That's not how the world works. And so I'm really trying to like slow down with that and enjoy the journey, which is tough.
But, well, you know, I'll tell you what, from us, and you mentioned the silver lining. The silver lining was, as everybody knows, you know, down here with Governor DeSantis, is that things are a little bit different, especially back then, than it is out there in the rest of the country. But it was for us, mom and I, for us was to have you and Vinny and us together for 18 months, cooking dinner, sitting outside, having a bottle of wine and just a conversation. And I think we grew as a family, you know, because Vinny out doing his football thing, you were here doing your trying, you know, mom and I were trying to reestablish herself down here. It really brought us together tighter as a family. And then now we have the Papali Group. Which is pretty good. So you're looking now and you look at some of the things that you've done and your experiences in the background, which you feel, and you said made you stronger. What do you see some of the biggest challenges, not only just for you, but anybody? Could you give any advice to someone right now that wants to make that complete change over, like school teacher, NFL player?
Yeah.
You working in, you know, with a major, major NBA franchise, and now you're basically out on your own. And your thing. What sales of all things,
which I always said, I'll never do sales. Honestly, just do it and trust your gut that you're making the right move and that the right things will happen for you. I mean, you obviously have to put in the work, but trust your gut, follow your gut. If your gut is saying, I just know that this isn't right for me and I need to make a move, make the move, you know. And it was funny because I'm almost 30 and I'm still at the point where I'm like, you know, I feel like I'm on the right track, but I don't know. And somebody asked me, well, are you scared about going into your 30s? And for me, I think it's so exciting because not for everybody, but I think for a lot of people in their 30s, when you really start to define who you are as a person, you know, you're through your 20s, you're through that. Let me figure out who I am. In your 30s, you're like, okay, I know who I am. Like, I'm secure in who I am as a person. And now it's time to be like, okay, well, let's find that financial security. Like, let's figure out that path that that you're supposed to be on, and let's make it happen. And I feel like you have a clearer sense of where your path is supposed to go. Again, it's not everybody, but for most people that I see, it's when life really starts to happen. And to me, I think that's so exciting. And so again, it's like, just do it, follow your gut, know that you're on the path that you're supposed to be on. Some people think I'm crazy, but I like to look for signs. Like, if something keeps coming into your face, it's for a reason. Follow it, look for it, watch, like, don't necessarily look for it, but if it's like smacking you in the face 5 times a day or a week, like, okay, maybe you should look into it. But, you know, that's just my perspective and opinion on it. Everybody's different. Everybody's life and path is different, as you know. But again, look, you in your 30s, you were 30 when your whole transition happened. Like, you never know. And I think your 30s can be a really, really exciting time if you allow them to be, and you don't have to be scared.
Well, yeah, you got to trust your gut. I mean, I could have simply stayed in education. Right now, I would have had my master's degree. Probably was a principal. You know, I was coaching. But, you know, you got, to me, the thrill about having it happen and what you get in the end is the fact that you took the risk. But you said a key word there, Gabriella. And it reminds me of a quote by Dick Vermeil, and was called potential. You know, this greatness within you that's still waiting to come out. And it doesn't have to be in what you were doing. And Coach Vermeil says two things about potential. Number one, it's a coach killer. And number two, it's the greatest waste that people have. But, you know, you were smart enough and you surround yourself with a good team. And, you know, I guess we could lead a little bit into the Power Group right now. But, you know, we have our team. It's Vinny and you. And are there any similarities between you and Vincent? I mean, here he is. He's the athlete. And you are the athlete, too, in both competitive fields. I mean, how do you see this all working with mom? And then mom, oh, by the way, the other day she was saying how proud she is of both you and Vinny. And mom isn't the kind of person that's, you know, she's not a back patter, you know, say, hey, you know, good job like me. I'm all over you, you know. But we're two different personalities, two different coaching styles. But, you know, how do you compare yourself with Vinny in terms of things? And how's that relationship you have? To me, it's the funnest thing is like when we're just in Mexico to see the two of you together for 4 or 5 days and just going at it the way you used to, you know, when you were kids. It was so cool. I just smiling all the time.
Yeah. That was fun, actually, because that was the first time that we had lived in the same house together for probably like 5 or 6 years, because by the time, you know, he was in high school, then I went to college, and then I was in college, and then I was leaving college, and he was in college and living in Delaware, then I was living in Philly. And so that was really fun. I think that honestly, we're both very stubborn. So I don't know how that's going to work.
You think?
No. But so is mom. So,
yeah.
But I think that we both have good work ethic, and I think that we both have good vision. And we're both very hard workers. So I think that that's something that we will play off of. And I think that we both, you know, are very personable in our own right. And we know so many different types of people. We connect with different types of people, which I think also makes us really unique, because there's some people that just, you know, have a hard time. They can only connect with one certain type of person. But I think the two of us are both unique in the sense that we can find a connection with most people. And if we can't, then there must be something wrong with you then, because I don't know what to say. But no, but you know, I think that we have a lot of similarities. We're both goofy, but we also know when it's time to work too, which mm-hmm. I think it's also healthy to find a balance with that too. Because if you take yourself and life way too seriously the entire time, then where's the fun in that? Where's the fun in living? So yeah, I'm excited to see where it goes, our empire, as we call it. So we'll be coming.
Well, you know, the nice thing too, and what I really admire about you is that there is a safety net there. You know, it is me and mom. And me, I'm so, you know me, I'm so gullible. And I said, don't worry about it, Gab. I got that. I could do this, you know, which yeah. I just love, you know, and I just have to throw that little zinger out there. And you just have so much pride. Say, I can do this. I can get this done by, it's okay. Yeah. I can do it. So that's what I like about you and Vinny and the stubbornness that you have. So anyway, we're all going to be together. He's coming back down Florida here and getting ready for his USFL tour. And that's, you know, part of that over there on the other side of me. But, you know, this is more about you right now. Now, so where do you see your future? What do you see going on now? We've got the Papali Group, you know, we've got, well, you talk about the Papali Group and then yeah. talk about the future.
I mean, I think we kind of both, like, kind of touched on it, you know, with the real estate all over, you know, hopefully expanding that, continuing to grow that, you know, we're under the Compass brokerage right now and seeing how big we can make it and continuing to expand in all different facets of the real estate world as well. And then also with this podcast, you know, you never know, seeing what can happen. You know, hopefully this grows. Hopefully people will actually listen.
Oh my God. And we have some people lined up and we'll, yeah. you know, I'm telling, and these are big names that just, mm-hmm. I just met a couple of people just this past weekend that want to get involved in, and it's really cool. And I can't wait when we get that. That'll all be happening after the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. We have some, I mean, it'll be exciting that we're going to have some really awesome people on and like, people that can relate to different, you know, different people in the world and different aspects of life too. And so it'll be exciting. It'll be exciting to see what happens. But again, I'm trying to let the path unfold the way that it's supposed to. And if it doesn't happen the way that I think, then it's okay. And not trying to put too much pressure on it, because then again, I think it'll lose its charm. And I just want to, you know, see what happens and see where life takes us right now, because I think it could be really exciting.
Well, there's a lot of opportunities out there. And as I always say, Coach Ramil, just be ready, because you never yep. know. It comes in sizes, shapes, smells, things that you never know. And when it hits, you got to be ready.
And that's actually funny that you say that, because I remember there was a church one time, there was a pastor, a guest pastor, I think. And one of the things that he said was, and it's very rarely resonated with me, it's like, just along those lines where it was, he said something like, we are, even though like it's not here right now, you're preparing for it so that when it comes, you're ready. Because half of what people do is they're just waiting for it to happen, whatever it is. And they aren't ready for it. And they're like, oh my God, well, it's here. I don't know what to do. It's like, okay, so it's not here yet. So take the time to prepare for when it is here. You know exactly what to do. You know exactly how to handle it. And I think like it's exactly what you just said. And it's so, so true, because I don't think that a lot of people do that and they realize it. They're like, oh, I just want it to be here. But they don't understand what will happen and change once it's here. And when it happens, they're not ready for it. And then it crumbles.
Well, it's easy for me to look at it from my perspective, because I can put it all down into one word. And it also, that one word is nothing more than a collaboration of all of your experiences in your life, from the bullying, from the hard work, from your competition and this and that. And it all comes down to, you have the basic fundamentals of life. And that you have the skills to be able to overcome things, especially in a competitive environment. You know how to deal with people and big name people, because you've done that. You're not overwhelmed with that. And also you surrounded yourself with a good team. And that one word, and that key word, is fundamentals, you know, and you know, getting a second chance and all those things. It's, I'm getting goose pimples here, Gabrielle, just talking to you, because you make me so proud, you know. My North Star, I saw that heart beating. I'll tell that story when I saw that first with her taking the scanner there, and I saw that heart beating, and I said, oh my God, that's going to be my North Star, and she's going to take me to the next level. And here we are. I'm a dad. I can't believe it. All right. So are we ready for the lightning round, or what do you think?
Bring it.
Wrap it up on the lightning round. Now I'm looking over the right because, you know, I took too many hits to the head without a helmet. So I do have a little bit of a teleprompter here, but here's some of the, so your favorite music, you know, you came back country from some Syracuse and you were so much into, you know, all the other stuff. So what's your favorite music?
I'd have to say probably still country.
Still country. You have a favorite country artist?
Yeah, a million. I mean, love Lee Bryce. Have to do like female Kelsey Ballerini. She's getting up there for me. Pretty good. And Cole Swindell, solid, always love it. And yeah, I mean, I could go on and on and on, so I just won't. But yeah, Brett Young, my angel. Oh my gosh, I love him.
Your angel, huh? All right. So Antina is up there sending all this stuff. She's in Vail with you know, Janet's brother. So, yeah. With skiing or snowboarding?
Skiing. I like hurt myself too many times trying to snowboard.
Yeah, snowboarding. Let's see. Philadelphia, everybody asks this question. The best cheesesteak in Philadelphia?
Angelo's.
Right.
Question.
Yeah.
Pat and Gino's salt.
Not Pat's or Gino's, huh? Mm-hmm. Let's see. What's your favorite color? You went through pink and all those other ones. Now, what's your favorite color?
I have to say red just because it's my favorite color to wear. Mm-hmm. But, you know, love a good red tone.
Yep. You're still an Eagles fan, right?
Yeah. I do like a dark green color too. Love that. Not like the colors right now though. It's just like a little too metallic-y. But I love like, a deep green. Like this.
I like that. Yeah, that's a nice green. Yeah. So I like it when they wear the black uniforms. Yeah. So and also we have a new team in our life, and of course that is the
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jacksonville Jaguars is gonna be crazy. You know, we've been there for a few of the games. And let's see, I guess, two more, just real quick. Cheer or dance?
Dance.
Dance? Mm-hmm. Okay. I was going to say mom or me, but that's all right. So is there anything else you want to finish up with right now, Gabrielle? I'm going to say this, my favorite quote ever, and I'll stop talking after that, but it was when I was trying out for the Eagles, and we were talking about, you know, that last laugh, and I was trying out, and my mentor, and my high school coach gave me this great quote: "Happy are those who dream dreams and are willing to pay the price to make their dreams come true." And it's all about the willingness to pay the price. And if you're not, forget about it because you're just posing. So, yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to leave with, and anything that you feel philosophically, or you know, that you would like to give to the world?
No, I mean, I think that you hit the nail on the head. It was perfect, and just do it, you know, because it could change your life for the better. It definitely did for me. So, you know, on that note, you know, come back for episode 3. We'll have some more fun stuff going on, some people on. If you want to stay up to date on the Papali Group, visit invincibleinsights.com or thepapaligroup.com. And yeah, we hope to see you back next time.
Look forward to it. It was great, Gabrielle. I love you.
Love you too. Once again, thank you for listening to Gabbing with Invincible. And if you like this episode, please feel free to like it and share it. And we will see you next time.